This is SG2 Perspectives, a conversation with industry experts and SG2 thought leaders about the biggest trends in healthcare and what we all expect that's going to mean for the future of healthcare delivery.
So in some ways, they're looking at the same activities, but from a different lens. One wants to see a lot of government oversight and feels that the market has failed. The other one feels, I still believe in the market, and I just want to modify how the market is working.
Hello, and welcome to part one of a two-part series of SG2 Perspectives focused on the impact of the presidential election on health systems. I am your host, Kelly Richard, and today we have a very knowledgeable panel of experts. Our guests are Steve Rickson, Senior Governmental Relations and Public Policy Director at Vizient, and from SG2, Valinda Rutledge, Senior Advisor, and Bill Woodson, Senior Principal and Senior Most Thought Leader. A couple of quick caveats before we get started. First, SG2 is a nonpartisan organization, and the purpose of this conversation is to understand different scenarios resulting from the election and the potential impacts on health systems. We are recording today, October 7th. Quick piece of information, just because things change pretty quickly. Please keep in mind that by the time this comes out, things may have changed, but we are providing insights based on the most up-to-date information that we have right now. We're just going to do a quick round of introductions so we can understand everyone that's here and the perspectives that they bring. Steve, why don't you get us started and tell us a little bit about your role and the perspective that you bring to the conversation?
Sure. I'm the Senior Government Relations and Public Policy Director for Vizient. I'm really excited to be here today with our excellent colleagues from SG2. It's always great to work with you all. I work in our Washington, D.C. office with a small team that tries to advocate and amplify the hospital voice on Capitol Hill and among regulatory agencies and the administration. Beyond that, we also serve as a resource for our hospital members, as well as for our Vizient and SG2 colleagues to try and figure out where the directions are taking health policy in Washington and how that we can best position ourselves to serve our members.
Great. Valinda?
I'm Valinda Rutledge. I'm a part of SG2 as the senior advisor. I work with the team at SG2 as well as Vizient, helping analyze and look at where the legislation and regulations impact from a strategic point of view, health systems. I was previously at CMS and CMMI as a senior advisor, and I was one of the original people that helped set up CMMI. So I'm very familiar with many of the activities of CMS and CMMI.
Good morning. This is Bill Woodson. I lead all of SG2's strategic and enterprise intelligence.
Fantastically concise as usual, Bill. Thank you all. So let's get started with a topic that gets a lot of attention when we discuss exorbitant healthcare costs, drug pricing. Steve, let's start with you. What's on the table?
When we look at the health policy environment around drug pricing, obviously it's been a topic of conversation that's been really dominating things for the last several years in Washington. When we look at what's actually happening and what could impact our hospital members, I like to break it down into two possible buckets or paths. First, you kind of have this hypothetical bucket. And those are some of these issues that we've seen kind of emerge through the executive administrative orders from President Trump. And that would include things like the International Pricing Index or the Most Favored Nation drug pricing plan that President Trump has conceived. Still very much out there as a hypothetical, but something that could potentially have a significant impact for health policy if it is implemented. But we don't know if it's going to be implemented. So at this point, we're very much considering that a hypothetical possible challenge. Now, on that same line, we also have a proposal and an executive order that would change how pharmacy benefit managers are able to use rebates and whether they'd have to pass those directly onto consumers. This is something that the administration conceived and pushed forward through almost to the final steps of the regulatory process last year, but they ultimately withdrew that proposal. Now it reemerged just recently with another executive order pushing this forward. If the administration finally decides to move forward with these things, it could have a pretty significant impact on prescription drug pricing and prescription drug management from a hospital and clinical perspective. We also have the things that are actually happening, the things that are really impacting our hospital members on a day-to-day basis. And first and foremost among those are the reforms that have been made to the reimbursement under the 340B drug pricing program. Under 340B, hospitals who were receiving a discount are now having that reimbursement dramatically reduced under the outpatient prospective payment rule for those Medicare Part B drugs for hospitals across the country. And that's been in effect since 2018. And that's something that's going to continue going forward for the time being. And then the other thing I would add, kind of astride those two buckets, is drug importation. That's an issue that we've heard a lot about recently. And it's kind of somewhere between reality and still the conceptual hypothetical model, where we have a final rule, but we still don't know if that drug importation is actually going to take place. So those are the major drug pricing issues that we're seeing right now in terms of actual actionable policy. Beyond that, there's additional conversations just about price in general and about approving prescription drugs, where the Trump administration has done a commendable job in trying to reduce the backlog and bring more generics and biosimilars to the marketplace.
So when we were talking to health systems, Valinda, maybe we go to you first. What are the things that are top of mind based on that list that Steve just provided to us?
I think health systems really do have to focus on what's happening in the drug pricing. A lot of times you'll have providers think, oh, the drug pricing is not as crucial as some of the other regulatory changes that are happening. But we all have to be aware that it does impact at the provider level in three ways. Number one is that health systems are a major purchaser of drugs for the use both on an inpatient and outpatient basis, particularly outpatient with the Part B drugs, which have had some of the highest increases. Most of the reimbursement on a governmental payer perspective is per case rate. And a lot of times the commercial plans also have case rate. They do give you a yearly increase, but unfortunately these yearly increases have not covered what we have seen from the drug increases. When you're being paid on a case rate or a per diem, and you don't get enough of a yearly increase to cover the dramatic increase in the drug pricing, your margins start deteriorating. And that's what health systems are seeing. So number one, the major purchasing of drugs and what that is doing from a margin perspective. Second is what happens from the patient perspective. The affordability goes down quite a bit, and particularly insulin. They have found that in the U.S., we pay four times the amount of insulin of other developed countries. So you find patients that can't afford insulin on a regular basis. So they start decreasing their use of insulin. And what happens is their health status deteriorates and they end up in the hospital with very, very serious comorbidities. And you start seeing the health status of your community actually deteriorating. And as a health system, you're committed to improving that health status of the community. And third is the impact upon risk-based models. If you're in an ACO, you have Part B drugs within it, but you won't have Part D. With the rising cost of Part D drugs, what happens is the beneficiary can't afford their insulin or their heart disease or their asthma medication. So they actually have a higher incidence of readmission, and that will drive up the cost, and you may not be able to see any kind of savings in participating in the risk-based model simply because of the lack of affordability of drugs.
Bill, anything that's bubbling to the top in your conversations with health systems?
To me, this topic, it rolls up under the broader issue of affordability and health equity. So in addition to drug pricing, we have site-neutral payment, and then the whole topic of price transparency that will start to emerge next year. The RAND report just came out that updated what markets are paid versus Medicare across the country. And Kelly, it's interesting this year where we saw a lot of health systems take things off their list of strategic priorities. Several of our larger members have added on something related to affordability and health equity, knowing where the economy is, their dependence on government payment. And to be sure, going into this contracting season, we know employers are also focused on the affordability of costs overall.
When we think about a Biden versus a Trump administration, what are the differences in how these administrations would approach these challenges?
I would put it into two major differences. There are similarities, but I'll talk about the differences first, and then we'll go into the similarities. The Biden campaign platform has been about more government oversight, and that is a cornerstone of the Democratic Party. What Biden is suggesting is that Medicare could have a direct negotiation of the Part D drugs. He would set up a review board that would look at annual increases of drugs that have a limited competition and have a tax penalty for those pharmaceutical companies that are exceeding those inflationary targets. On the other hand, President Trump is looking at how to modify the market. He wants to have a limited government oversight, which is a cornerstone of the Republican Party. And he's doing it through things such as the International Pricing Index, using most favored nation, which is, he would expect with some of the high-cost drugs, that they would have prices that would be, in America, the lowest price of the developed countries. Those are the two major differences between Trump and Biden. Quite frankly, they have a lot of similarities. They both support importation, which we recognize that there's a lot of obstacles for us to be able to achieve, but they both support it. They both support figuring out how to redesign Part D in the Medicare beneficiaries and how to cap the out-of-pocket drug spending for the beneficiaries. And they also both want to see an increase in biosimilars and generic drugs to be released into this country. So in some ways, they're looking at the same activities, but from a different lens. One wants to see a lot of government oversight and feels that the market has failed. The other one feels, I still believe in the market and I just want to modify how the market is working.
And I largely agree. I think there's a lot of remarkable similarities in how they would approach this. And that drug pricing is clearly a priority for both of them to really engage and push this forward. It's something the public's been calling for. It's something hospitals and health systems have been calling for. So it's definitely a priority for both of them. I think when we look at the International Pricing Index or Most Favored Nation Index proposal, that's something that may be market-based, but there's some fairly significant concerns about what that would mean for not only the supply chain, but other countries' ability to access drugs. And there's ultimately going to be some significant legal challenges and obstacles to implementing that. From a health system perspective, there's major concerns about the IPI if it goes forward in the way it was initially conceived as an advance notice of proposed rulemaking, in that it would fundamentally change how hospitals and health systems could acquire outpatient prescription drugs. There's a lot of questions out there. It's real questions about whether it's reality or not. But it's certainly going to be, if the administration stays in power and if President Trump is reelected, that would certainly give them the opportunity to move forward with that. Although there's still very real questions about how that would look, especially because they proposed expanding that not only from Part B drugs, but also including Part D drugs into the conversation.
And what about the difference in how the administrations would handle changes to the 340B program?
I think when we look about moving forward in a Trump administration, it almost certainly would be more of the same as what we've been seeing for the last several years. Generally speaking, a Democratic administration would probably be slightly more favorable to the 340B program and particularly probably far less aggressive in trying to restrict its growth. For instance, I suspect a Democratic-led HHS would be more aggressive in targeting drug makers who are at this moment moving to place severe limitations on the use of contract pharmacies. I should note that President Trump and this HHS is currently reviewing those actions, but has not taken any steps yet to crack down on them. Now, in terms of the broad ongoing Medicare payment reductions that are taking place in the 340B program, it really isn't 100% clear how a Democratic administration would handle those cuts or whether they would start trying to unwind those cuts directly, because there's a huge financial impact on the hospitals that are affected by those payment cuts. But at the same time, it's also producing some degree of savings for patients through slightly reduced cost sharing in Medicare. Because Democratic administrations would probably be more favorable to the 340B drug pricing program, they would probably try and take some steps back, but they probably would not completely be able to unwind or immediately abandon those ongoing cuts. And it could take some time if they decide to take a step back from that approach. Though I should also add that it is still possible that legal action in either the full DC Circuit Court of Appeals, which is something that the hospital groups have requested, challenging those ongoing cuts, or even potentially the Supreme Court, could ultimately make this whole conversation moot. I largely agree with Valinda in terms of the philosophical approach between the two parties and how they approach this. But President Trump has been very open and very interested in moving forward with a legislative solution as well that maybe transcends kind of the traditional Republican anti-regulation line. If he were reelected, this would continue to be a priority. And then the makeup of the House and the Senate would largely dictate how flexible the president and the administration may be in adopting some of these more aggressive proposals.
I have to tell the listeners that recently I was on a call with a very senior Republican leader who the question was asked in terms of, don't you feel that the most favored nation in international price index is a form of governmental oversight? And their answer was, oh no, we are just modifying the market. I agree with you that it's a little nuanced in that answer, but from a Republican perspective, setting a price at a international is different than having a governmental oversight. But I agree with you. It becomes a little touchy in terms of, is that really much different?
This has been part one of a two-part election series. Be sure to listen next week when we'll continue our conversation with Bill, Valinda, and Steve focusing on health insurance coverage and the path forward for value-based care. If you like what you're hearing, please also listen and subscribe to our colleague Dr. Tom Villanueva's Modern Practice podcast on Vizient's Medical Leadership Channel. Tom discusses key healthcare trends through the clinical leadership lens. You can find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you for listening and stay healthy.
This has been another great episode of SG2 Perspectives, where industry experts and SG2 thought leaders explore the drivers of tomorrow's healthcare strategies to inform today's decision makers. Contact us anytime by sending an email to sg2perspectives@sg2.com. We'd love to hear from you. SG2 revolutionized healthcare demand forecasting with the Impact of Change forecast, and today, we're the industry's premier strategy advisory firm. To learn more, visit sg2.com. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you again soon.